Welcome to Snark from the Universe On Call. I am Paul Franz, owner of Franz Games. I run SFB Online, Bedcom Online, and Starfleet Warlord. Just a reminder how to join us. We have Talkcast every Thursday night starting 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time. You can either call on the phone, just dial 605-562-0444. Just follow the directions. The call ID is 17702. Or you can participate on the web. Just go to the TalkShoe website at www.talkshoe.com. Search for call ID 17702 or Starfleet Universe On Call or SFU On Call, and you'll find me there. But if you really want the best experience when it comes to joining me on this lovely journey of live broadcast, go to twitch.tv/SFUOnCall. That's twitch.tv/SFUONCALL. And there you will find the chat room. You'll see my lovely face. And if you don't want to look at my face, turn away and or don't look at it. And just listen to my melodious voice, because I'm assuming that if you actually are still here, that you actually like my voice enough to actually listen to it. But if you need to contact me for any reason, my email address is sfuoncall@gmail.com. It's sfuoncall@gmail.com. Also, if you want to follow me on Twitter, it's also sfuoncall. Of course, I got a personal account called Paul Franz, PAULFRNZ. There is no T in that. And of course, if you want to follow me, that's great. So a reminder that I'm very much of a Catholic. I love my O's and I love technology. So if any of those things bother you, if I ever post about those, then don't follow me. And of course, if you want to follow me, follow Franz Games, so you can keep an eye on what's going on when it comes to Franz Games. That's SFB Online, Fedcom Online, and Starfleet Warlord. Just keep an eye on, you know, follow that one, and you will be able to see the news and client updates. And of course, the lovely Talkcast gets turned into a podcast available on iTunes and various other feeds around the net. Some quick news from A to B this week. We have Caps Lock number 50 is actually now available on the ebook retailers. You know, Warehouse 23, DriveThru RPG, and Wargame Vault. It's available to all three shops. So get your copy. Also available as part of that is the color SSDs for the Caps Lock number 50. Also, decals for the Shapeway ships are now available from Teneshington. Decals. If you want all the information about them, actually go to the Facebook page and you will find it there, and because there's multiple sizes of the Shapeway ships that you can use those decals for. Also, the June Hailing Frequencies is out the door. It's possible that you can actually find out more information about the decals from in the Hailing Frequencies, so check that out too if you don't want to go to Facebook. Moving on and forward to the SFB Online tournament, the Sapphire Star tournament number 11. Round two is almost completed. It should be completed as of tomorrow night. They emailed Andrew saying that okay, they're going to complete the game tomorrow night. That's Friday night on June the 17th. I will not be around because I'm going to be going to a baseball game. Yes, I like to see baseball. Moving on from that, round three, we actually have one game completed. That's the semifinal round. So that means, yes, we do have a finals, which is Spartan is currently flying the ISC in the finals. Moving onward to the actual library, there's actually been some updates to the library from the small armed freighter has been fixed. I think the large freighter has also been fixed. The Hydrogen Traveler has been fixed. Also, for some strange reason, the D7 somehow had got 60 boxes of warp. Don't ask me how. It just did. So instead of having like 15 and 15 when it comes to warps, it had 30 and 30. I'm not sure what happened, what was going on the person's brain. Maybe they just wanted to have a really souped up D7. I don't know. But that has now been corrected and posted, so you will see that. Also, there's other Klingon ships that also got fixed by Frank. Thank you, Frank. So with that, that is the news for this week. it's me, it's the one and only panel of friends welcoming you to Starfleet Universe On Call. And tonight, well, looks like it's just moi. I got started a little bit late just because of various technical difficulties that happened in the past 30 minutes. Ugh. Don't know. My mic went dead. And I had to restart everything, and that took like a lot longer than I'd ever expected. It took like 10 minutes to shut everything down and start everything back up. Got a lot of stuff running. So, given that it's just what happening this week, what I'm planning on doing is I'm going to go, the original topic that I have for tonight, well, the person that I want to actually have with me is not here, and which is Gary. I wanted to discuss something with Gary because Gary posted some interesting things on the actual SFB discussion board, you know, about wrong window. Lost it. Dang it. Sorry. About M81 and... give me a sec. Part of the restart, I lost my page on the discussion board. Big surprise. But yeah, the M81 Galaxy and the Saltorian Nebular Combat Variants, which is interesting because I know also Gary wanted to also discuss TAC Intel, which I think is going to be a very interesting topic because TAC Intel is one of those things that's rarely used in SFB just because of the amount of procedural things that needs to be done. Now, I'm just going to bring it up real quick and then I'm going to drop it because that is a topic for another evening. And that is that the thing is with TAC Intel, one thing that people thought of as soon as SFB Online became a thing, and you could do something other than just playing tournament games, is that they wanted the TAC Intel rules to be implemented in the client. And that is problematic. Well, okay. Actually, honestly, I feel like today, it might be less problematic because of the SSDs and how they're actually done. Because in way back machine, the SSDs were actually graphical images stored in the client that you could download and use, and then an overlay was on top of it to actually allow you to interact with those boxes, and those boxes would be defined by hand, which was a pain in the butt, but it worked well. The third gen definitions would work much, much better for TAC Intel because of all the boxes are actually drawn on the screen, you know. So given that they're actually drawn on the screen, that means I can control what is drawn and what's not drawn. Therefore, the TAC Intel rules, the implementation of the TAC Intel rules as part of SFB Online, it would be a lot more, it would be less difficult to do. So, given that, I think the best thing, you know, is at the moment, I'm going to leave Sleeping Dogs lie. I'm not going to try to implement it because I've looked at some of those rules, and it takes a bit of time. And I can understand why people would never play with TAC Intel, just because of how it's not okay. The rules aren't complicated, but they're detailed, and it takes a lot of keeping good records. You know, basically, if you wanted to play this, you know, way back when, before the advent of the SFB Online client, before the advent of computers, for the most part, you know, it's how often would you actually have a computer right beside you? Even when I was when I was working, when I first got out of college and I was working, we had computers, but there were PCs. Laptops really didn't exist too much. Yeah, there were some laptops, but not exactly the greatest in the world. I still remember the one time I let my brother borrow my laptop because he wanted it, and it got lost. Actually, I forgot if he lost it or got stolen. One of those two. But it was by today's standard, it was really underpowered. I still remember I installed like double drive or something like that. The whole idea was to double the space on your drive by using software. Basically, it would use compression. Actually, Iggy, when it comes to fleets, I don't think many people do these days. But when it comes to single ship duels, yeah. Obviously, for fleets, I think more people than not, when it comes to Federation Commander, they'll play it in fleets. Because that's one thing. Okay, I rag on Ken Burnside. I'm not sure it was Ken Burnside's thought or Steve Cole's thought. I'm not sure which. Either one was a fool's errand. The whole idea of fleet versus squadron size ships when it comes to FedCom, the idea is to speed it up and so forth, which obviously did not work out. And it's plain and simple. If you actually played it and you look at it, it comes pretty obvious what the issue is, which is you have both the defensive and offensive systems on the ship. You have them done by half, and that means that they're still going to take just as long because the amount of damage to get through those shields is going to be a lot harder. If you want to speed up play, decrease the amount of shields or get rid of shields altogether. You want to talk about changing the game, that would do it. I think that would be the best in that case. If you want to speed up play, have it so that only the max shields are 5 box shields. I'll let more internals happen, so the game would end a lot quicker, So that's my opinion on that. But anyway, when it comes to back to Tac and Tel, it just took a lot of record keeping, and the whole idea would be that if you decide we're gonna play Tac and Tel, we're gonna play the whole gamut, Tac and Tel, electronic warfare, and so forth. Basically, what you could have is somebody who's they don't actually get to play the game. They're basically a human computer that keeps track of everything. Or they have one ship to do the energy allocation for and so forth, and then play that. So they have lesser responsibilities, therefore they could keep track of things a lot more. And yeah, who was it? Was it Steve? I think I might have been mentioning the rules itself, that or might have been in the tactics manual, where it was said that what you do is you give the responsibility of Tac and Tel to a junior member of your group to keep track of Tac and Tel. Because a lot of it is like, hey, you got long-term observation, things like that, in which case, that's why it takes a lot of record keeping. What's the distances? If you stay at a certain distance for a certain period of time, your Tac and Tel level actually goes up. Things like that, and that's why it would take a long time. And like anything else, implementing rules in on an online client is not exactly a simple task to do as it stands. And I've talked about this in a while, which is the whole idea of taking all the rules for SFB and implementing them in a client or a server or whatever. In theory, you can do it. It's a 10-year project, but you could do it. And even then, you can't say that you got it right. This is when what's the program language I'm thinking of? It was used as a learning system. It's been a while since. It was a rules-based language where the idea was that you could do inferences based on this, this, and this, you got this result. You know, dang it. I don't, it's been 85 or 86 when I was dealing with that language. It was one of those electives back in college that I took. It was Prologue. Yes. Thank you, Iggy. Wow. I can't believe you remember that. Prologue. That was it. And you could use Prologue to implement the rules. You know, this. And this, you know, I don't think so. And even then, you know, I said the big issue with that, would you get it right the first time? Because Lord knows there's always bugs. That's why I think my initial implementation of Federation Commander as a closed system was a failure. Because I didn't take into the consideration that if I got the rules wrong, I have to jump on that and fix it. So the only way I could actually have it so that the rules were implemented correctly is actually I'd have to get a server involved or way of downloading the fixed code a lot more quicker onto the client itself. Yeah. Yeah, you can sustain the when it comes to Prologue, the only logic paradigm language I ever heard of. Yeah, me too. That was part of artificial intelligence that back in those days. That was going to be the not artificial intelligence. It was called expert systems. The whole idea was that you have domain. People have the domain knowledge. You know, they would actually communicate that to like a developer. And then the developer would then rewrite it in this Prologue. The idea being that you could capture all this knowledge, and then the knowledge could then be passed on, and you wouldn't have to worry about, you know, basically the whole hit by the bus syndrome, where that person either, you know, leaves the company or dies, you know, suddenly, and all that knowledge is lost. You know, that was the whole idea. You know, they could just pass it on and. You know, and so for I was about to go off on a computer tangent, which I don't think at this moment in time we really should go down that road. But since we're not going to be here as much to talk about Tech Intel with Gary, because I know Gary, there's a particular reason why I want to talk about Tech Intel, which from the looks of it, it was this post. He just posted this week the one which is about M181 Saturnian Nebular Combat Variants. I will not go into that one right now. If you want to, you can go read it. It's under Starfleet Battles. This is, you know, the discussion board, Starfleet Battles proposal, SMB proposals board, new ships, R-15 Saturnian proposals. I am not having a good time. This is not going good. That's. But okay, I'm gonna do this. Let's see if just for giggles, so you can see the page, and this is the page right here. And there is the path for that actual topic. Those just listening. Oh, hey Chris. Those just listening, you know, just you go to the discussion board, you can. As I said, you can go for down the Starfleet Battles, then SMB Proposals Board, then New Ships, then R-15 Saturnian Proposals, and underneath that you'll find the M81 Galaxy Saturnian Nebular Combat Variants. You'll see that. So if you want to find it, there it is. If you don't know where the discussion board is, you're in trouble. Just go to StarfleetGames.com, and one of the buttons right there on the home screen is the discuss button. So you can jump right there. Actually, that's one thing I just thought about, and that is that I think the Starfleet games really could use a revamp. Heck, SFB Online could use a revamp, because it's nice in a way, the simplistic. If you have the different products, and then you have this selection of buttons. Overall, it's kind of antiquated and old. Obviously, you can go to Facebook. Also, you can, there's the Twitter, so you can see the Twitter. You know, it's all rights reserved. Blah, blah, blah. I love this. Copyrighted. Da 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 da. Updated continuously. So instead of having a last updated at, it has that. It's dead. Federation Empire, Minor Empires, that's a good one. But, yeah. And there's Starfleet Battle Force. You know. So you see all the products right here. I'm just wondering if there's a better way of showing that, but it is what it is. Moving on. The one thing that I wanted to talk about many weeks ago, and I tried twice. Once, you know, when I first brought up the topic of Starfleet Battle Force, and I was trying to steer the whole discussion onto this, and then I tried to get back on it a couple weeks ago, and it still failed. So I apologize. I felt like, you know, I wanted to include Gary, you know, a few weeks back, and that's why I stopped discussing it. Maybe I might have to change that, the way of doing things, you know, and just say, Gary, if you get here late and I'm already discussing a topic, I'm going to stay on that topic. And if you want to, you can discuss it, but we're not going to go off on any topics that you have. That's probably what I should do. And I'm sure some people right now say, yay, do that. I understand your feeling on that. Okay. But the reason I was going through all that rigmarole to bring up Starfleet Battle Force was because of one thing that came to mind over a month ago now, which is how hard would it be to create Starfleet Battle Force, an actual game, online. Now, I know currently there's still a vassal, which actually shouldn't be there. My understanding is that Steve Call one that pulled down, because it contains, he might change his mind, but. That's one thing I was actually looking at. Let me see if I still have it. Here it is. Which is, I apologize for that. There are frameworks that allow you to more easily write up a game. Now, I have not tried to do it yet. I did, way back when, I actually did initial implementation a little bit more light over here. I did in Unity. Now, the one gotcha with Unity is that Unity, you have to develop in, I think, C#, which is not that bad. They were actually going for JavaScript for a bit then they dropped support for JavaScript, which I think was a big mistake. My guess is they've dropped support for JavaScript because they didn't want to support two different languages, therefore twice the effort and so forth. And possibly they might have had an issue with JavaScript itself. I'm not sure why, because I'm sure you could have it running under Node. You know, Node.js. That could have done it that way, but they didn't. But you know, I can't, don't think about that now. So I was looking up card frameworks like a month ago, and I came this one. Especially because the one thing I liked about this one was called, I pronounced it Godot. I think that's correct. It's G-O-D-O-T, so Godot, or Godot, however, I'm not sure. But anyway, I know enough about waiting. One of the side kind of plays called Waiting for Godot, which is based on the two of the characters from, I forget which play from Shakespeare. There was the two characters basically was waiting for this guy who never shows up. The whole play is about these two guys in their discussion about it. It's called Waiting for Godot. And that's why I pronounce this G-O-D-O-T as Godot. So shoot me if I'm mispronouncing it. But I say it's the Godot card framework. And there's a quick start guide so you can bring in all the images and things like that. I got it. And it's comes to programmatically, it's another language called GD script. I'm looking at it. It doesn't look bad. Looks like there's no, if then else, there's no thens. You say if and you end it with a semicolon. Or colon, not semicolon. I need new glasses, or at least watch these things. Has a whole idea, concept of ranges and things like that. That doesn't look like a bad language. It's this, I'm not sure what the difference between this is and this is. Colon equals versus equals. Is it that one is supposed to be, I'm going to say it's constant because there's constants here. Not sure. Maybe it's just stylistic. This makes sense here. Maybe this is the reason why, because it actually, these don't define, these are implicit types, these are explicit types. And this way, this would actually be an implicit type too, wouldn't it? That inferred type is now, type, and of course there's type var dictionary, which is basically dictionary in Python terms or map in Java terms. I think it's also, it's called a hash in Perl terms. They all have the same, it's all the same thing, which is key value pairs. So it doesn't look like that bad of a language. I'm actually interested in doing Starfleet Battle Force as part, using the Godot framework, because I've got all the assets, for the cards and so forth. To me, the big thing that I want to do, because I've, unfortunately, I don't think I saved the links. I should have saved the links. I'm not as good about that as I really should be. Which is examples of, I forget which card game it was. I'm thinking it was the Magic the Gathering. I forget if it was Magic the Gathering or some other card game that there's videos of on YouTube. It shows basically it's an isometric view of the table. And then you could see your other players' cards. Now, obviously, if you want to simplify a card game and the interaction as a first go at it, obviously you can have a top-down view of the table. So, in the case of the top-down view of the table, you have your cards, and the other players will have their cards. And especially with Starfleet Battle Force, you actually have arrangements of cards on the table. So you could have it so that it's basically a square, and then as the cards get flipped or laid on the table, you can see them on the table. And obviously, positioning would have to be defined by the game system. My assumption is that, I think I read enough of this to know that positions and things like that are defined by you, and you can do that, which would be I think kind of interesting. Actually, I'm kind of interested in doing this. I've been working on the client a little bit and trying to get back to what I started 2 years ago, I think it was, which is modernizing the client. You know, I did one thing, which is I delayed the changing the back end. I really would like to do the back end, but I know it's a lot. The thing is, taking the old code and how it worked and make it so that it works with the new server is not easy. So I was figuring, okay, I'm going to put that off, save that off, and switch back to the modernization. And I got one thing I need to think about for the modernization is how it's supposed to look. I went back to the actual discussion board to say, you know, this is my vision for it. And so I like that, but I only say that just because that I might look at this a little bit, but I'm not going to try to focus too much on it. I want to work on the modernization of the client itself, or possibly creating a web-based version of the client, at least the minimum viable product kind of thing, which is, you know, SSDs, moving the board, EA, damage allocation, launch seeking weapons, tracking of is that minimum viable product? No, I was going to think about tracking weapons, but you don't really have to track the weapons except for that's a question, which is, do you actually have to track for minimum viable product? I'm not saying final product, which is minimum viable product. Would you actually have to track the number of drones and plasma and so forth launched? Well, not track them as much as track how much are left on your ship. I think as initial minimum viable product, I'd say no. The minimum viable product in my mind, though, would be required to keep a list of all destroyed units. All units are removed from the board. The idea being that you could keep a record of the what drones are used, when's the last, what plasmas were used and so forth, and when were they launched, because that'd be part of the information, because that's it. Be like we have today, right? It has the torpedo tube, and then it has also the turn and impulse of when it was launched. I'm doing fantastic, forgive me. I just lost my light. So I went into darkness. Okay, I think I'm good at the moment. Okay, I gotta stop doing that. Okay, maybe that cable hit my elbow on it. I'm sorry. And for you that are just listening to it, you just missed some funny stuff. But anyway, so what was it? Damn. Right. Minimum viable product for an online version of the web-based version of the client. So those are the kind of things that I'm interested in. Well, I just haven't had time, and of course, that comes down to interesting things, because I'm at an age, big surprise. I'm 55. Let me think. No, I'm 56 at this point. I was born in 1966, and it's now 2022. So that would make me 56 years old. Yes, I'm getting up there. I'm alive. Hey, that's the important thing. And that is, what do I want to, do? Meaning that, given the opportunity, because I think about this, which is, if I was given the opportunity to, if I had enough money, for a lottery or whatever, that where I actually could quit my day job, you know, not to deal with those people, which I'm not, they're not bad people, you know, it's a, sometimes it's more stressful than others, I think, like any other job out there. And but given that, given the possibility of leaving that all behind and focusing just on Starfleet battles, Federation Commander, Starfleet Battle Force, any programming, and even Starfleet Warlord, to develop up those clients, the technology behind it, and how it's used and so forth, you know, modernizing the electronic version of those games and so forth. Would I be happy doing that? You know, I don't know. At this moment, I'm not. But you know, these are, when you get to be my age, these are the kind of things that start rolling through your heads, especially when I know I've been working on the client on and off, because I'm not saying that I've always been developing it. Sometimes I just let it, you know, lay fallow because I've had other things to do. And developing the client hasn't always been the top priority. Big surprise, come on. That's the same thing that happens with everybody, you know, where you're, the top priority is not this game. It's your family and so forth, and then also other activities outside of that. And that happens. I'm not sure if you heard that or not. Got a little thunder, and there's supposed to be a storm coming through, and I'm just hoping that either I can get this done before that happens, or that it doesn't affect us. But if I all of a sudden this thing ends rather abruptly, you'll know why. But anyway, moving on, onward and forward. But you know, those are the kind of things that I think about, you know, and let's say that I move on to a different job. You know, if taking that additional job would take me away from even the possibility of working on something outside, you know, SAP Online, Starfleet Warlord, things like that. Would I do it? You know, would I take it? I don't know. You know, because that's all it comes to, priorities and things. But I truly think that the future is running the, you know, SAP Online, Starfleet Warlord, and Starfleet Battle Force, all those online, you know, as actually using the web browser as your UI. Now, the tough part about that is just that it requires a whole new skill set compared to back. I can do back end work. I've done back end work, but I haven't, you know, I haven't done much when it comes to UI, i.e., the web. So I'd have to. At the moment, I'm actually in the middle of learning React. I have to get back to it. I stopped working on that, like learning it like 2 weeks ago, maybe three. But I want to get back to that, because I think it's an interesting way of designing code, especially with what's called JSX, which is the basically making the actual JavaScript objects themselves. Actually, these are TypeScript. No, actually, I got UPS. Iggy, here's the problem. If I lose power, it has nothing to do about the computer. It has everything to do with my cable modem and my router. I don't have UPSs for my cable modem or my router. So, you know, the whole place is, you know, so in that case, I will lose connectivity at that point. But back into I've said it for a while now that I see the future is on the web, you know, because Lord knows it's becoming more and more difficult. Here's the thing. It's getting more and more difficult to actually install things onto your computer because of they want, you know, all these antivirus thinks Java is a big virus. And rewriting that code base, if I'm going to rewrite that code base, why would I write it to be actually on the computer these days? You know? Maybe, you know, make it as an Electron app. You know, so basically it's just a browser wrapped, you know, my code has a little UI, which is a wrapped browser, you know, and that's how it gets distributed, you know, so people don't have to worry about going to a website or anything like that. But, you know, everything else is still, you know, on and on. I guess the funny part is that the new push for technology is pushing towards serverless, truly serverless, distributed. Which is, for those who've been dealing with computers for years, when I first started, we had all these PCs. Yeah, we had some. We might have a network, but that wasn't much. We might use that for you know, sharing files and possibly accessing your email server, things like that. And then during that time, there was a big push. Okay, let's not get back into the old client server model where, you know, in this case, that was back in the mainframe, you know, when mainframe was still pretty close to king for the big ones. You know, we don't want to have, so you have terminals and you have this server running it somewhere else, you know, and that's how you communicate with computers. It's like, well, okay. So we went distributed. That's it. You know, peer to peer. That was the whole thing, peer to peer. And the problem with peer to peer, which actually, if you believe it or not, the original client, what the way I did things, it was peer-to-peer. Everybody got a copy of the board. And then it's only by that person. So there was no server holding the Conoco copy. The Conoco copy was the one who actually owned those pieces. That's the Conoco copy. Now, the tough part with the Conoco copy like that is that for things that are not owned by a player, let's say, turn, an impulse. Who owns that? No one owns that. You still need a central source of truth. But I didn't have a single source of truth, and so invariably sometimes the impulse number would change as people came in the room, because the fun part about that was that person would come into the room and then every single player would then have to send their updates to everybody else, and everyone got it. It wasn't just sent to the single person, it was sent to everybody. Because back in the day, basically, you were connected to a computer. The only reason you connected to a computer was acting as a router to send information to everybody else. That was the only reason. And now these days, you know, they're saying, oh, it's all server based. You have your terminal, i.e. browser, connected to a server somewhere on the internet, somewhere else, you know. So, given that you know, so we're going back to what we originally had, which we were so we ensconced to be away from, trying to get away from that, that we're going right back to it. So, what's happening? The solution: peer to peer. In this case, blockchain, distributed blockchain. The funny part about blockchains, and this is the one thing that, don't get enamored with blockchain, please don't. What is the biggest issue with blockchain? Okay, you have multiple copies. Now, here's the issue. Here's always the issue and the gotcha in the whole thing. Who are the validators? When you add a new block into that blockchain, you have to have people validate that. That's what proof of work is that that same operation happens to multiple people and they go, okay, I can verify that. They can go and easily verify, that's a valid transaction. But you have to have a consensus for that to take place, at least for like Bitcoin and most cryptocurrencies have that validator status. Lord knows, I just saw Bitcoin today. I stopped by this little kiosk. Well, I passed by this kiosk. And currently, Bitcoin is at $20,000 for one Bitcoin, so it's dropped down some more, which is crazy. You know, as I said, Bitcoin is always speculative. But anyway, because of the thing is, it's those validators. That's where you have the issue. Well, hey, Shelly. Yeah, I know, Shelly. I really need to respond to your email. I need to talk to the people of Starfleet Warlord about you. Because what you did was really bad. You know, I know Gene will never forgive you, and Gene will definitely not want you back. But I have to talk to other people about that whole situation and see if they're not interested, if they will allow you back in. Okay. But you know, yes, I have a funny feeling, Shelly, that was you last time I saw you on the Twitch, you know, because you're the only person I know that is going Harley Quinn. But yeah. Okay. So I'll get back to you in the next week. Okay. Just to let you know, I have not forgotten you. I know sometimes it seems like I have, but I have not. Getting back to just a really quick thing on the validator thing, which is, you know, that's the key is the validators. And that's why there's always that issue where if you have too many of the validators are owned by a small group of people, you know, as in the servers are owned by too many people, a very select few people, they control the blockchain, which is why people go, oh yeah, blockchain, that's a loser. Okay. First question, who will be the validators? Is it going to be one that then defines it? Or will it be certain organizations that go, oh yeah, we can validate the blockchain? But after the validators say, okay, it's good, you know, after there's consensus of the validators that is good, then it gets added to the blockchain and then it gets distributed to everybody. But that's the control piece, which is the validators. That's to make sure that you don't have split chains, you know. But anyhow, you know, so it's just another technology, you know, what's going to happen again? Actually, part of the whole serverless peer-to-peer thing is... I think it's IPFS. It's like Internet Protocol File System. It's an interesting idea, which is basically a distributed file system, which lives over the internet. It's not Tor. Crap. I'm forgetting now. Torrent, BitTorrent, yes, the torrent. You know, where you actually can have pieces of a single file in multiple places, or you can download it from different places and then gather it all together, and boom, you got it. So it's kind of like that. The question is, will we do this whole peer-to-peer thing again and then realize that there's certain issues that you can't solve by peer-to-peer and go right back to the server-based model where it's client-server that you're all pointing to a single single point of truth when it comes to, you know, that data. So, and then of course, who controls that? And goes down that whole road, you know. Anyhow, I think I'm going to end it there. It's been lovely hanging out with you guys. I'm going to have to re-record my news portion because I recorded it before this podcast. And then I played it back and found out that 2 seconds into the start of that news second segment, it dropped off everything. The mic went dead. Boom. So I'm not exactly sure what happened, and I really don't. Because of, it's not like this one. This recording is actually, it's a virtual device where I have both the mic and my browser connect. They're considered a single mic together, a single input device. So, not sure what happened. But that's one thing I'll have to do after I get offline with you guys. So, with that, I am Paul Franz. I bid you a good night.